You're listening to Seattle Sports Leader.
Yes, sir!
93.3 KJR-FM Seattle.
An iHeartRadio station. Available everywhere on our free iHeartRadio app. Number one for music, radio, and podcasts all in one.
Let's make three things very clear. World War III, I'm going to win. Curt Hennig, I'm going to disable. And Lex Luger, just because you're in my way tonight, you number three in this town, me being number one, Elvis being number two, and you being number three. Woo!
Ow, 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 stop, oh, stop.
That's you losing your bet on Geno Smith.
Stop.
No.
Oh, Gina.
I think she's actually hurt.
No,
there.
I think she is.
Yeah, she's
Ouch.
Hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay.
What? Gosh, I hope she's okay.
All right, here we go. What do we got, Dugar? No Kaepernick. Here we go. Let's see, Gino, or Locke, maybe his girlfriend, it's Gino time.
It's not
Shane
Gino.
Shane confirmed it yesterday.
Nobody wants Gino Smith.
Gino time. Gino.
Nobody wants Gino Smith.
I do.
I think right now, you know, Gino has done such a good job of carrying over stuff that we had going in from last year. And so naturally had a little bit of a head start against Drew right there. But they're both doing such a great job of competing and really pressing each other.
You tell him, Shane.
He didn't say it's his job.
I never said that. I just said he's got the early edge. Play it again.
He just said he had a head start.
Okay.
I think right now, you know, Gino has done such a good job of carrying over stuff that we had from last year. And so naturally had a little bit of a head start against Drew right there. But they're both doing such a great job of competing and really pressing each other.
Gino Smith.
You're the only guy I know who can interrupt a recorded voice.
Yeah, you're right.
That was
Gino. How much money are you gonna owe me for that one?
We got $100, and
$100.
Drew Luck is taking the first.
I want a crisp $100 bill.
I'll give
ironed.
You one. You want it Venmoed?
Huh?
I'll Venmo it to you.
No, I want it ironed. Ironed.
No, I'll get you a fresh one, a new one.
Fresh $100 bill. When Geno Smith comes running out there. And introducing the offense for the Seattle Seahawks. Number 14 out of Ole Miss, DK Metcalf. And at quarterback from West Virginia, number 7, Geno Smith.
Yeah, what?
Place will erupt with booze.
So he's got a head start. And what is it? May? It's May 19th when he was talking to Ian
yesterday. Like running start. You did running start in high school, didn't you?
I did not. May 19th.
We are going to be watching all the preseason games.
I can't wait. Preseason to me is going to be the most entertaining thing this year.
So we got what? 3.5 months until the first game against Denver.
Yeah, 3.5 months.
So Geno has a head start. And if it's a horse race, Gino's ahead by what, half a length?
Play it again. Play it again. No,
why play it again?
Play
Everybody
it again.
Already heard
I think
it.
Right now, you know, Gino has done such
Talk
a good job
him.
Of carrying over stuff that we had going in from last year. And so naturally had a little bit of a head start against Drew right there. But they're both doing such a great job of competing and really pressing each other.
You know what I heard there? It's over. Competition is over. Wrap it up right now for Gino. Signed, sealed, delivered.
I know I make a lot of bad bets, but that's not one of them.
Yeah, wait, really?
That isn't one of them.
I mean,
hey, kid, you're with me on that, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I bet Mike the same thing. Mike thinks it's going to be Geno.
I mean, come on. I mean,
Mike
I don't know.
Covers the team, and he's going with Geno Smith.
How do you not hear that from Shane Waldron yesterday with Ian Furness and not come away that this thing is wrapped up for Geno?
I think right now, you know, Geno has done such a good job of carrying over stuff that we had going in from last year. And so naturally had a little bit of a head start against Drew right there. But they're both doing such a great job of competing and really pressing each other.
I'm not so sure why we need to spin the wheel this week, because you all know what it's going to be. 85% of the time, it's Geno time.
You're such a fool, man. You are. Yeah, you're a lovable
fool.
It's
going to be so good. It's going to be so good when he runs out of that tunnel.
No one wants that. Nobody.
Again,
I don't even care. I don't even care if he beats out Locke. If Pete says, hey, you know what? Geno is the better quarterback. I still want to see Drew Locke, don't you?
Well, clearly.
Well, you know what you have with Geno Smith. You don't know what you have with Drew Locke.
Yeah. reliability, fast and reliable, like CenturyLink fiber. It's the Geno Smith.
It's not time to read that ad.
It's not yet.
No, I don't think so. When is it?
Well, Dugar and I, we want him to win.
Dugar covers the team? And he's saying Geno Smith is going to start?
Yeah.
Come
because
on.
Of familiarity.
Yeah, I offense. Always struggle with that one, too. Familiarity.
He's more more familiar with the offense.
I know. That's what I usually probably like sounds to say. Better. Yeah, but familiarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's more familiar with the offense.
I mean, just wrap it up now. That's what I got out of Shane Waldron yesterday. This is over. O-V-E-R.
Gee, can I get out of the bet for 50?
Sure.
Oh,
you want to get out of bed? Or you want to double down?
Yeah, I'll go 200 if you want.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Let's go 200.
Wow. I'll go 250.
250? Fine.
300.
Okay.
350.
Sure.
Are you guys serious, right?
Yeah. 350?
350.
Okay.
Wow.
He's trying to cover his golf pool because he knows he's...
Oh, that's already long gone.
The golf pool. he knows he's lost that.
The golf pool.
Okay, we're up to 350 now.
All right.
Yeah, the golf pool's over.
I got Drew Locke taking the first snap against Russell Wilson.
$300.
Oh, that's right, because it's the other. See, that's why they're
not like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are going to be talking to Pete before the game and going, and Pete's going to be like, hey, we're thinking about starting.
Hey,
Geno.
Joe. Hey, Troy. Hey, Troy. Look what I got. What do you think it's going to be? I wish you were up there, Troy. We'd win a lot of games.
Troy lost to the Cougs when they were number one at UCLA.
I remember that.
Yeah, 1988.
Rosa ball over the middle.
Oh my God. Oh, so much fun.
How drunk were you?
Oh. We had a house up on the Sammamish Plateau that my dad was building, and we hadn't put a yard in yet. And I had a Datsun B210, and I did donuts in the backyard.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Good for you.
No, but Troy Aikman and Joe Buck are going to be talking to Pete, and Pete's going to say, I'm thinking about starting Geno, and they're going to talk him out of it because they're going to be going, hey, come on, we got Russell Wilson returning to Seattle.
Yeah.
You got the Denver angle with Drew Locke here. You know what you have in Geno, and it's not much.
Reliable.
Reliable.
Steady Eddie, team leader. Teammates love him.
If you didn't have this bet on him, would you really want to see him?
Yeah.
In your heart of hearts?
No.
No. I know. No one does. I mean, Geno, his wife, his mom, his dog. His dog probably wants Geno to start.
You're going to get Geno on the show. You can tell him why you don't want him to play.
I'll tell him.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No.
Geno hater.
Butchered interviews before. I can.
Yeah, well.
What's another one?
Damn right about that. What's... It's a Flair Friday. It's a Drag Your Ass Friday. 93.3 KJR FM. We welcome you into a fantastic Friday here for us and for you, the listeners. Jason Puckett. Follow me on Twitter, JasonPuckett20. Jim Moore, the go-to guy at Cougs Go. And, of course, Christopher Anthony Kidd, our executive producer. Also, one half of the power couple, The Hype, which you can hear every Saturday from 9 to 11 right here on these airwaves. Tomorrow, they'll probably have some Seattle sports superstar on the show that we somehow failed to get on our show this week. Who is it this week, Chris?
It's no one.
Uh-huh. No one?
Yeah.
No superstar.
Until there's
week.
A surprise. Wow, we just booked
LeBron.
Look at this. Amazing. Sue Bird's on the show this week.
No?
No.
Okay.
No. We got to go sit courtside at a game, though.
You do have to go to
Storm game courtside. I want to do that.
You're going courtside of the Storm.
I want to see the Sparks play.
Okay, there you go. What do we got today? Headlines. Well, how did everybody enjoy the Trevor Story game last night? That was fun.
Yeah.
I think he really stuck it to him because there was some animosity with the Mariners.
Like, why would there have been animosity?
I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like they made him a big offer and he just didn't want to play here.
I guess, yeah. What animosity would there be?
I don't think he holds anything against the Mariners.
He said no thanks. So I don't know. Do we know how the negotiations went down?
No idea.
Well, he saved his best game for the team that courted him the most in the offseason. In fact, there were reports and speculation that they had almost reached an agreement before the lockout for all of that. So before they shut things down. Three home runs yesterday, four hits, seven ribbies, first second baseman in Major League Baseball history to steal a base in a three-run home run game. He joined Jim Tabor as the only Red Sox player with five runs, three home runs, and seven ribbies in a game. He's the only player since 1901 to hit at least three home runs, score at least five runs, and stolen base in a game.
Anything else? Anything else?
Anything else?
I mean, wasn't it just, what's the right word? It had to happen to the Mariners that he did it. Couldn't happen against the Astros before they played. His breakout game couldn't happen against the Orioles. It had to happen against the Mariners. He had a team that went after him so hard in the offseason but couldn't reach an agreement with him.
Was it two home runs in the first 38 games and then three home runs in one game?
Yeah. Yeah. Then everyone got mad on Twitter last night when I simply just pointed out the second baseman for the Red Sox has more home runs in one game than the second baseman we acquired on the whole season.
People got mad about
He didn't bring Adam Frazier here to hit home runs.
Which is true.
And I said, you're right, but it's also not against Major League Baseball rules to go out and acquire people that do hit home runs.
Is old,
and then I didn't hear anything after that.
Is old Puck sneaking back into new Puck?
No.
You're still thinking...
Hey, 17 and 22. If it weren't for Scott Servais, who manages a Major League Baseball team that doesn't understand the rules of Major League Baseball, we win the game yesterday. So it's amazing.
Yeah,
that
but
you
he
are
took
a manager.
He took accountability, though.
No, he didn't. No, and I.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
He threw the umpire under the bus and then tried to circle back and go, "Oh, you know, but it's on me." Then you should never have mentioned that, even talked to the umpire. Yeah. So he didn't really take 100% accountability. He threw the home plate umpire under the bus because he said, well, he said it was okay. But, you know, ultimately it's my fault. He was kind of.
Okay, so like what, 90% accountability?
75? He took like 70%.
70%?
But he was really trying to say, hey, I went to the home plate umpire and he told me that I was A-okay.
So if Verdugo doesn't get a double, then do we just, it's a non-story?
Yeah, we win the game.
Non-story.
Obviously. I looked into the future predictilator, and it said we win.
Okay, that is the rule. If you cross the foul line, you need to pitch, unless it's a pinch hitter.
Shouldn't he know that?
Yeah, did you know it?
Huh?
Did you know it?
No, probably not.
I didn't
But
know
shouldn't
it.
He have known that?
He probably should.
Hold on.
He probably should have known that.
I did know he's got to face one batter if he's going to come back out there. Yeah, is that what you're saying? Like, he has to face a batter unless it's not a pinch runner. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, but how many times have we seen a guy go out there and warm up, and then there's a batter that comes up, and it turns out it's a pinch hitter when this happens, and then they make the call of the bullpen?
Well, yeah, then you know that's the rule.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know the rule.
I mean, did you see
But I'm not a baseball manager.
Did you see how upset Kirby was?
Kirby was upset, yeah, and rightfully so, especially because he'd had, two 1-2-3 innings before that, and he felt like his stuff was getting better, and he was only at 71 pitches.
I think it goes even a step further of him screwing up that rule, okay, and then trying to, like, throw. I know he took some blame for it. I'm not saying that Servais didn't, but he could have, like, when you want to take full blame for something, don't even mention the umpire. You know what? Don't even mention that you had a discussion with the umpire.
He should have taken full blame and then maybe circled back to that part of the story.
Yeah.
Or not even said that part of the story.
Not even saying. Just you own it. You wear the whole thing.
Yeah.
But when he went back and, you know, and detailed, well, he said it was okay, you are then shifting blame on the umpire. And listen, does the umpire get some blame too?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe you'll hear about it today.
Probably should get some blame as well.
Do you think Jerry will chastise Scott for that? Or is it just like...
Andy McKay is going to be managing the team tonight. Scott Servais deserves a one-game suspension.
Like, how big of a transgression was that?
Well, I mean, listen, there were other momentum, you know, the Tanner Hawk guy coming in and just being lights out and striking out six and four innings. It was a huge momentum shifter as well, but that changed the game. That whole fiasco changed the game. All of it.
So you don't think the Red Sox would have gone on to score 12 runs in the game?
I don't know, but do you not think – okay, I would counter that by saying, do you think that screw-up in the sixth inning had anything to do with it? That it at all? That they, you know, up and down and they didn't
What was the score at the time, 4-4? I think it was
4-4.
And
you don't think that had
they took the lead in that inning.
You don't think that had any factor into it at all?
No. I think it had a factor in it.
Just
sure.
saying that it would. I would
sure,
like.
But
to
would Wyatt Mills have come in and not walked guys and hit a guy? And you know, I mean, would the bullpen have just?
He was.
Maybe those things wouldn't have happened.
It didn't help the cons. I think, but even a step further. Okay, let's say they just end up losing anyways. But I think the biggest thing, besides not knowing the rule. or being confused about the rule, which, well, let's take a step back. Anything can happen. He's a manager, so maybe he screwed it up and he got confused with the whole pinch runner, okay, or pitch hitter. Okay, let's. That obviously that's what happened. I think the bigger issue is this. You don't even tell your starting pitcher that you're going to do that. Kirby didn't even know he was going to come out of the inning.
Right.
He told him to go warm up. Kirby thinks he's going to go pitch that inning. So how, as a manager, do you allow that to happen? Where's the loss of communication there?
Well, you shouldn't have. At some point while your team was hitting, you should be...
Hey, Kirby, here's what we're going to do.
And
I'm going to send you out
call
there.
Call Sergio and get him warmed up.
He was warmed up. He just wasn't warmed up enough. That was the whole point. That was the problem.
Right.
But you should have told Kirby, George, we're going to send you out there, okay, to the mound. You're going to throw a few warm-up pitches, and then I'm going to take you out and put Romo in. Maybe then Kirby at 21 goes, oh, that's against the rules, Skip. But I don't know. But to not even tell Kirby that's what you're going to do?
How many other managers do you think every other
manager? Don't you think that's
But let me ask you this. Do you think every other manager knows that rule?
I think a good majority do.
Okay.
I think a good majority probably understand
I would,
that
I would
rule.
Agree with you. I would agree with you.
And I mean, it's
a, I would think if I was a manager of a major league team, I would get the rule book and, you know, I think I know all the rules, but I'm going to make double dog sure. Okay.
But like you brought it up. Well, did you know that? Who cares if we know the rule? We don't manage.
No, I was well. I know. I was just curious.
But we're not paid millions of dollars to manage a baseball team,
right? No,
he is. And when you have like managers, this is be disrespectful, but they don't have a lot. They don't do a lot in the game for the most part. Kind of set the lineup and let's go. Right, guy pitches. They make calls later.
Pitching changes.
This is kind of where you get paid all this money to do,
mm-hmm.
and to not understand that, and to royally screw that up. And to not communicate with your young starter of what's going on, that's a big failure. The lack of communication with Kirby should be the majority of the issue today, not him not knowing the rule.
Why couldn't he have figured that out and thought, okay, I'm not going to have – I mean, why did he wait until he went out there? He could have just during – while his team's hitting, gone over and said, George, you know, hey, you've done a great job tonight, but we're going to go with Sergio here.
Well, yeah, take it a step further. They're hitting, right? The Mariners are hitting.
Yeah.
He knows what the lineup is coming because the whole issue was.
Story was coming up,
he
right?
He didn't want him to face Story again.
Right.
So right when the Mariners start batting, should he had not have figured it out? Like, I don't know how long Sergio Romo needs to warm up. Did it start right when the inning started? Like, if he wanted to make that change and didn't want him to face him again, the right before, you know, they go to commercial and, you know, before whoever's on, I don't remember who was on deck to start that inning, but when they're on deck, you're telling Kirby, all right, George, I'm taking you out. Okay, I know you're pissed off. You want to go out there, but you're out. I'm putting Romo in. I don't want you to see Story again. Night's over.
Mm-hmm.
But why he hesitated and waited and, like, I don't know what happened there.
If it was gamesmanship to bring Kirby out and then, you know, like Verdugo's getting ready to face Kirby and then, oh, geez, Sergio Romo's coming in. Does that throw him off somehow? I don't really see how that's any part of it that factors in. So you're right. He should have just told Kirby in the dugout and then Romo should have been out there to start the sixth.
Can I give you just a wild speculative just statement from where I was watching that whole incident take place? I was at the, I revisited the Dave and Buster's in Bellevue again. We had a great day yesterday.
Wait, you went back to Dave and Buster's after?
Yeah, me and the vampire.
You gave him another shot?
We gave him another shot. We had, of course, it was Mary, you know, it's Mary Lou Thursday where we have to basically spend all day over in Bellevue. So, of course, where'd we go for an hour?
Stodds. Yeah. Did you have a good time?
Blast.
Yeah. Did you get in the cage?
I did.
Yeah.
Just my home from away from home, Stodds.
Mm-hmm.
Went over to Cloud Nine, got a you know, burger and shake.
Oh, anyway. Cloud Nine. That's right.
Went to Newcastle to hit some balls afterwards. I'm pretty sure I saw you. Were you at Newcastle yesterday?
Was not at Newcastle.
You weren't driving by. Did you drive by that road past the YMCA on that road?
I did. Yeah.
In the ridgeline?
Yeah.
I saw you.
Yeah.
What were you doing? Hiking?
No, I was going to get air in the tire. I saw my mom. She's got hip replacement surgery today. And
I saw you.
Yeah.
Did you
wave?
There. I was like, I think that's Jim, and then you were gone.
Yeah.
And then we went over to Dave and
Buster's.
Did
you pay $9 for a small bucket up there?
$17.
$17 for
a
large.
Yeah. Are those the world's worst golf balls?
They haven't replaced them in a while.
Okay.
Yeah. But Mark Richt, he's good to me up there. So nice. I don't want to criticize.
Does the ball
Newcastle.
Fly a little bit more up there?
Well, yeah.
I was really hitting some irons that just did not feel like they should be going that far.
Well, you're at altitude up there. Well, you're more so than.
But does
more
the ball have a little bit more jump?
I don't know.
Okay.
That.
We wrapped it up at Dave and Buster's, and we were watching the game. So, you know, I just don't. He was clearly annoyed. He was annoyed in the post game. Was Kirby? He was annoyed with the whole situation and how they handled it. And I don't know. That's kind of a royal f up.
Well, it is. So what do you do to make good on that if you're service? You know, I mean, do you talk to the team today before the game or after the game yesterday and say, hey, look, guys, I really screwed this up? You know, I mean, what can he do at this point?
Nothing, but I'm sure.
Like, I'd talk to George Kirby if I'm service and just say, hey, kid, you know what? I screwed up.
He probably already did, don't you think? He's already had a conversation with Kirby?
Yeah. And if you're Kirby, you kind of go, well, okay.
Here's my one observation. When I was sitting down at Dave and Buster's watching this, and this probably has nothing to do with it, but I'm wondering what happened with that inning starting. He knows that Story is coming up. He should have had Romo ready to go. And so Kirby should have known before they even started hitting that he was done.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice on the, you know, when they sit up there on the top of the dugout on the, you know, the little, you know, the padding? They've got 15,000 iPads out there. And they're just sitting there like a teenager looks at their phone in their iPads the entire game. They don't even watch the game. They just watch their iPads. Do you think maybe they're just like overthinking and too much information going on, and maybe they should just watch the game and have a little bit more feel for the game and understand what's going on? And I don't know. This is my wild speculative
statement. Well, is it like that in every other dugout?
Probably, but I just noticed it yesterday. I'm like, God, they sure have a lot of iPads out. A lot of devices they're looking at. And
yeah.
A lot of, you know, what's the matchups that we need and all this. I mean, did that cause the delay whether to pull them and
I'm with you on that.
I don't know.
I don't know how much gut feel is left with the managers now. You know, like I like a manager to have a gut feel, but I think that's being taken out of the game. Yeah. Boy, it was really taken out of the game, that one World Series that Blake Snell pitched in. You remember that?
Oh, sure. Of course. Well, I don't know. It just was, that was a screw-up yesterday in a big way, in a big, big, big way. Good news is Julio keeps on hitting, man. Yeah. I know he had the error, but whatever. I'm gonna live with that. So he airmailed Suarez. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Hit another home run. He's hitting 270. Got 14 ribbies. I'm good. And Kirby was fine. I mean, Kirby's first three starts, he's been fine. He ran a little bit of trouble, whatever. Yeah. He's going to run into some trouble. But for the most part, he was pretty decent. 3.60 ERA in his first three starts. 2.59 batting average against 11 Ks, 2 walks. Robbie Ray gets the ball against Michael Wacha today. All right, so we got that coming up today. We can talk more
another
about
nickname,
the Mariners.
Another nickname for you for a Red Sox starter tonight. Last night it was Dick Mountain.
Now, I had the volume down everywhere I was at, and I was listening to the radio when I was driving around, but then I got to Dave and Buster's. You know, you can't watch it or you can't hear the audio.
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone ever work in Dick Mountain?
I didn't hear Dick Mountain. No, but tonight maybe we're going to hear Guacamole.
Guacamole?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then where's my phone? We'll text Simsy right now.
Michael Wacha.
Hey, Simsy.
I kind of like that one, too, don't you? Guacamole?
I like guacamole. My son, growing up, would call it rockamole because he couldn't say guacamole. Can we have some rockamole? Sure can. We'll get into more of a Shane Waldron announcing yesterday that Geno Smith is the starter coming up next here on 93.3 KJR FM. You know that Kirchen guy is like, you never know when you go to the ballpark, Jimmy, what you're going to see. You get something new every day. Right? You never see how that happened last night in a baseball game, have you?
Right? Nope. No, there's something different all the time. I kind of get tired of hearing that all the time.
You never know what you're going to see in the game.
Like the other day, 5 home runs in one inning by the Astros.
Well, you know what? For the crowd, and I'm not saying you did this to be like, well, you didn't know the rule. With service last night. I'll take a step back. I mean, we all make mistakes. It happens. It's part of life. We make mistakes all the time. I don't think, to my memory, has made a mistake like this before. Has he? Can you think of anything where he's made a gaffe like that last night? You know, in any previous games, I can't.
No.
But I would say for the crowd that would say, well, you didn't know the rule. Well, I'm not paid to know the rule.
No.
He is paid to know the rule. That, and APD brought up a great point we were talking about in Sports Pit. That would be like we went to Scott's service and said, and be yelling at him because he doesn't break on time at 21 after. Well, he doesn't know that. Why would he know that?
Mm-hmm.
Why would he know to break on time? I need to know that. I need to know how to break. I need to know that I can't swear on live radio because it's my job to know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's his job to know the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just, and I would ask people to say, what was the, if that was an elimination game, if that was a one game playoff, and he did that. I mean, you cost your team, and this is just one game. It's one game of 162, fine. But these games always do, at the end of the year, find their way to creep back up and go, oh, you remember that one? Remember that one we could have had? I just go back to the, it's one thing to, you know, not know that he can't do that with Kirby. That's fine. I'm fine to a degree. The other issue, though, is just the whole, the zero communication with your starting pitcher, who, by the way, what did you say, 70 pitches?
71, yeah.
Okay. What are we worried about here?
Are we starting to focus on the 110 innings? No, I think it was what you were saying. They didn't want him to face Story.
Okay, then walk him.
Yeah.
Walk him. Yeah. Pitch around him. Don't go after him.
No, he butchered that. He mishandled that whole situation. I'm not feeling the same way you are. Like, I didn't wake up this morning going, oh, man, that's Scott Service. Boy, what a trash manager. They should get rid of him. And here's
why.
First
of all, I never said that.
I know you didn't say any of that, but I didn't wake up. And then I think they would have lost that damn game regardless of how that, if Kirby had gone out there, Romo had gone out there, whoever went out there, Castillo, it just wouldn't have mattered. I just think the Red Sox, you know, they came back from 4-0 down, and I get where you're coming from because that is something a manager should know, but I don't look.
You do know I'm being tongue-in-cheek sarcastic with they would have won if he didn't screw that up.
Well, yeah, I do know that.
All right.
But I do know that, you know, you're making a mountain out of a molehill to me. To me, but maybe not to others, and that's just the way I feel about it. Well, because this team isn't that good anyway, you know. And I know where you're coming from, though, is that the manager should know those rules. But I just look at him going, well, okay, yeah, hey, Scotty, you really screwed that up, but, man, you don't have a whole lot to work with on a nightly basis. You know, I don't envy what you're doing putting out that lineup, especially the 7, 8, 9 hitters. So I guess you got to do everything perfectly as a manager to compensate for what you're throwing out there. That's kind of the way I look at it because I don't think the team's very good.
But when a manager goes out there, okay, and we talk about how manager's more of a psychologist for the most part, you know, emotional support. He's got to keep the team up. I mean, he gets out there, sets the lineup. The game starts, and really from that point on until he has to make a decision with the starter and the bullpen, a manager really doesn't do much. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay, gone are the days of the hit and run or sacrificing. I mean, that's over. And really, there's a lot of people that can come in those situations and decide that. I mean, there's just not, from a manager standpoint, once the game gets underway until you get to the bullpen, there's not a whole lot that they actually accomplish and do right there. And I know that sounds like a slight and a dig. It's not. But just the way the game is. You know, you set the lineup. That's where all his preparation comes, is setting the lineup. All, you know, making sure the bullpen is, you know, juggling that, you know, day in and day out. But his main job is, once he sets the lineup, is to make sure he gets the bullpen right. And I go back to what I said earlier. It's not so much to me about not understanding or screwing up the rule. Rule, by the way, do you know what rule that is? It's rule.
Yeah, it's 5 something
I. 5.0.
5.0
Or 5.0, yeah, whatever. Is just how he handled the whole thing with George Kirby. To me, that one of the biggest strengths for any manager has got to be communication. And the fact is that he didn't have, I just would like to know when Romo was up ready to go. Because when he gets, you know.
Well, it must have been last minute because he didn't get enough warm-up pitches, and that's why Service went out and talked to the home plate umpire.
That's the problem then. if you knew at the bottom of the fifth inning, when the fifth inning was over, when Xander Bogaerts grounded out into a double play, okay, he knows if he looks ahead to the lineup, Trevor Story in the bottom of the sixth inning is going to be the second hitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a whole top of the inning with Torrens and Toro and Dylan Moore and Souza, your favorite player, ready to go up.
Local kid.
And he's a kid. He's 33. So by the time Bogaerts grounds out in that double play, I would like to know if we could go back and look at the time. What time was it at the bottom of the fifth inning when Bogaerts grounds out until the time that the bottom of the sixth inning starts? You're telling me that there's not enough time for Sergio Romo to warm up there.
Well, you were talking about all the iPads, maybe, you know, refreshing at the time, you know, trying to...
Well, spinning, you know, because they don't have CenturyLink fiber because it's fast and reliable, and it has a $50 a month plan.
That's my biggest issue there. I'm totally with you on, did he
what
butcher that whole situation in every which way? Yes, he did. You're right. So, but what do you do if you're him? Whoa. Okay, he kind of threw the home plate umpire under the bus, but then he did take accountability. I'm sure he's talked to Kirby. So what do we do now?
Public flogging?
Is that what?
Maybe down.
Should they fire him?
No.
Are you sure? Aren't we reaching the point where we got to start talking about some changes with Jerry and Scott?
Well, we did have this conversation at Sports Pit, and I did pose the question, if this happened in an elimination playoff game, he should be removed. If that would happen in a playoff game, no doubt about it. Like, 100% should have been removed. Like, right after the game. And had that been an elimination game 7, game 5, one game playoff? Are we doing one game playoffs anymore? I can't remember. Or is it 3 games?
I don't think so anymore, starting this year. All right, fine.
It's big boys' business.
God, it's just, I don't know. I get a kick out of it. The whole analytics thing, and you know, I'm sure that, you know, that played a role in it, you know, talking about not wanting to face a guy a third time through, especially with Trevor Story and all these different things. And I just, you know, there was a tweet the other day from a kid I used to work with over at 710 where Jerry said something about, we're not going to change the offensive approach because the numbers show we're at the middle to the top of the league and getting on base and making contact. Well, Jesus. I mean, I watched the damn team with my two eyes. My blue eyes, my old 64-year-old damn eyes.
And so I just go, too.
This team, you know, screw the analytics for a second, okay? We're watching a bad team. And you know, okay, well, it's May. Things are going to warm up, and the bats are going to heat up. And, boy, a tough schedule. They're on the East Coast. There's every excuse in the book for 21 freaking years, you know? Yeah. So I just kind of go, hey, you know, Scott Servais, did he screw up yesterday? Of course he did. But look at that lineup he's forced to throw out there.
Yeah, but
every
I
don't want to see Mike Ford out there. And, you know, okay, I'm Sousa's president of the fan club. Whatever. I don't even want to see that guy in the
lineup.
Well,
you're the president of the Sousa fan club.
No, I don't have to be.
Are you resigning?
I like the kid. Yes.
Are you resigning?
Yeah, he's not good.
He's resigning.
He's not good. Cal Raleigh, not good.
Friday's resigning.
They have too many players that are not good. Okay? And when you're not good, you don't make the playoffs. I don't need any, you know, little alphabetic equations to tell me that. The team sucks. Okay? The season's over. Can I be any clearer than that?
No, you cannot.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna contact Jamie at Simply Seattle in the break. What was it about the players again? What did you just say? I want to put it on a T-shirt. The players aren't good?
They're not good.
Oh, they don't have enough good players, right?
Am I wrong?
No, but what
I don't need a computer to tell me that.
But was your line?
I don't need
OBAX
plus whatever. I don't need that.
Okay, just point of clarification. Did you say they just don't have enough good players?
I want that on a t-shirt. I mean, I don't care how old you are. I mean, if you're Owen's age, you can tell they're not good, right? Am I wrong?
He's all in.
I mean, they have some good players.
They can do no wrong.
Is he really?
They can do no wrong. He's 8 years old. What do you want from him? All right. We'll continue this conversation, and we'll get into Shane Waldron announcing yesterday with Ian that Geno Smith clearly is the number one quarterback on the Seattle Seahawks. I hope people can hear the sarcasm in my voice when I announce that. It's the go-to guy and Puck with you here on a Flair Friday. It's a drag-your-ass Friday. It's get-out-of-town Friday. The it's one day before playoffs start Friday for the Issaquah Eagles.
Yeah,
they
I'm
on the Papermakers of Camas tomorrow in Olympia, Washington. 10 a.m., folks.
10 a.m. at the RAC down there.
Let's go.
Yeah, some athletic recreation, athletic complex or something.
Let's go, Issaquah.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm nervous already about it.
A little nervous?
Yeah, I am a little. Man, my hand's sweating.
Hard to sleep tonight?
I won't be playing. I'll just be watching.
Yeah, but it's, you know what? You get as
yeah, it's exciting. You know, loser out, and, you know, you hope your kids will do a good job and have fun, and we'll see how it goes.
We'll get more into baseball, but clearly the biggest news of the day is offense coordinator Shane Waldron announcing yesterday on Ian's show that clearly it's Geno's job.
Now that I actually took it away. I didn't know how many times you wanted to play.
We want it on nonstop.
Nonstop,
this is, this is the biggest story of the day.
I'll get it up again.
Biggest story of the day where Shane Waldron announced yesterday at Geno Smith.
To Kid's point, you've already played it four times.
Well, you know what? You can always play it five.
Oh, we might have new listeners.
Or six.
Or something.
We do. We get new listeners that come in and out, and they're wondering, wow, maybe I'll come back and listen and see if they're having
it. Shane Waldron kind of said that Geno Smith had a head start, but that's it's like a mile-long race, and they just got out of the gate, he has a half-length lead on Drew Locke.
See, I understand.
And now we've upped our bet to $350. You think Geno Smith is going to start?
I understand Shane Waldron a little bit better than you do. Just a little bit.
Oh, you do?
And, yeah, I can read Shane Waldron a little bit more. And Shane Waldron, when I heard that interview yesterday with Ian, I knew what Shane Waldron was saying when he said this.
I think right now, you know, Geno has done such a good job of carrying over stuff that we had going in from last year. And so naturally had a little bit of a head start against Drew right there. But they're both doing such a great job of competing and really pressing each other.
That just screams to me that Drew Locke's not ready. Not ready to be the quarterback.
Just screams, doesn't it?
I don't know how much obvious that Shane Waldron can put it right there. That Drew Locke, I'll be honest, I kind of got the sense that Drew Locke maybe is fighting with Jacob Eason. That's kind of what I came away with a little bit.
I'm just excited to see who's going to win this bet because now there is 300.
I mean, it got spicy.
It really did.
Jesus.
$350.
And I would just put on a
kid,
budget.
Kid, I own that one.
I would just put on a budget
but
by my wife.
But you don't know, like, even my $100 I bet with Mike, I'm like, damn, what if Geno does win?
What if Drew twists an ankle?
Well, injuries don't count, right?
Yeah, if there's
No.
Okay.
There were no
that could happen to Geno, too, though. What if Geno got hurt?
What? Or he's...
what?
Another one of those...
This will be
one of those.
I really am a loser if I lose that bet, man. I mean, you bring in Drew Locke, and you know what you have with Geno. You saw him for three games last year, and you know that familiarity with the system.
Sorry, Mike, no cabinet.
That being familiar with the system stuff only goes so far, right?
Oh, there's some news on Baker.
Yeah,
I just saw this from Pro Football Talk. Report: holding pattern for Seahawks, Panthers, and Browns on Baker Mayfield.
Well, yeah, they got to wait to see what happens with Watson and the
Mike
NFL.
Mike Florio writes. I think Mike Florio, you want to talk about, and, you know, and this may offend Softy and Fainted. I hope it doesn't. I mean, you want to talk about a ball washer for Baker Mayfield. Jesus. I mean, his balls are so, like, I mean, my God.
They're this so guy.
Wide. Well, you can get the image.
I wanted to see how far you were going to go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he loves himself some Baker Mayfield.
Florio kind of goes out of his way to sensationalize stuff, doesn't he?
A tad, but he's a tad. Jeff Howe from The Athletic reports that there's a holding pattern exists for Mayfield. He reports that the Panthers and Seahawks remain interested in Mayfield. The problem continues to be the amount of Mayfield's contract at $18.8 million.
So does that somehow count as like a developing story and breaking news? I mean, that sounds like status quo to me.
Sounds like this has been the story all along.
Yeah.
No one's going to trade for him. I mean, honestly, what do the Browns do? I mean, Deshaun Watson, we expect to be suspended, right? He's got to be suspended.
Yeah.
He has to be.
But they have Brissett there, too.
Oh, well, that's championship. Well, you're right.
I don't even think the Seahawks are interested in Mayfield if they could bring him in for nothing. Just my feeling about it.
Sure, is a lot of people that are real pointing that say they are. that they are interested in.
Well, I just got the feeling from what Pete said before Shane Waldron came in and said whatever he said yesterday.
Well, Shane Waldron did say that Geno Smith is clearly the number one guy.
I think right now, you know, Geno has done such a good job of carrying over stuff that we had going in from last year, and so naturally had a little bit of a head start against Drew right there. But they're both doing such a great job of competing and really pressing each other.
That full interview where Waldron essentially just guaranteed Geno would be the starting quarterback is up on the iHeartRadio app and at 93.3KJR.com. Shane Waldron with Ian Furness yesterday.
Yeah. And if we're Mike Florio, we're saying Geno Smith is the starting quarterback and we're writing a headline about it.
That's what I would do.
And you're also saying we'll have another headline that Scott Servais should be fired.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully people understand sarcasm here. Waldron did go on to say, if I allow myself to be serious in the interview, we have a long way to go to see where the competition goes.
So. Oh, you're going to add context to that?
Yes. I'm just having fun with it because we have a bet with
$350
Gino.
Now.
Jesus. I mean, I don't know about that. Can I get out of that? You kind of really lured me. Yeah, you attacked me and then lured me into it.
No, I feel good about that.
It was a really good job. Like, do you fish?
No.
Oh, dang it. Like, you were kind of throwing in that little pools and you're waiting for me to bite and you were circling around and then I bit and then you said,
come on. Yeah, you don't like your bed, do you?
Huh?
Yeah, play your little wheel again, you know? You think that's so funny?
Here we go. What do we got? Surprise guest on here, too, God. Not the guy you want. It's Baker. Give me the starting quarterback. All right, second hour of the show on Flair Friday. Drag your ass. Friday. Question coming up for the text line on the Tullamore Dew text line. When it's game time.
It's Tully time.
How many Little League managers understood the rule last night that Scott Servais didn't? 49451.